Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Welcome back. 3 o'clock hour.
Hawk and Crowder. Josh Appel in for Hawk, Crowder, and Solana. Steven is in the studio with us today, helping us out, producing the show. Thanks to Noah Eagle for joining us in the last segment. Anna Beasley will join us in this hour to talk some Dolphins. Let's talk some Fins here for a second. I want to get to this Cam Ward story later in the show as well, because you want to talk about bizarre. That situation, I can't wrap my mind around why it's even a conversation. Well, actually, I sort of can, and it's Mario Cristobal's responsibility there. But we can get to that later on. The Dolphins finally got a performance from a backup quarterback that they have been waiting for, last year notwithstanding, because obviously Tua stayed healthy the entire season. But they finally got the performance from a backup quarterback that they have been yearning for. We saw Tyler Huntley start a couple of games earlier in the season. Some good and a lot of not good. Seen a lot from from Tim Boyle, no longer here, Skylar Thompson. Didn't work out. And this is an issue that, as listeners of this show know, is one that I have been particularly hard on the Dolphins about, because when I see things like, well, they should have invested in their backup quarterback more, they should have invested in their backup quarterback more, well, they did. And then they got rid of the guy that they invested in and decided to go with the cheaper route, which is their prerogative. I don't agree with it. And I think it's eventually going to be the difference between them missing the playoffs and making the playoffs. But Tyler Huntley showed you a lot on Sunday, what he could bring to the table in these spot start situations. Wasn't always the prettiest. They still have a lot of just brutal procedural stuff that they just, for whatever reason, cannot fix. But he was efficient, Tyler Huntley was. He was able to use his legs. And most importantly, did enough for the Dolphins to win the game and keep their season alive.
Which is all you could ask now, for.
Right, exactly.
Really it.
So, this injury with Tua Tagovailoa's hip, Mike McDaniel says it's not the same one that, or the same injury that was bothering him at Alabama that he had surgery on. They said surgery not on the table for this particular injury, but it's one that they weren't comfortable throwing him out there against Cleveland. And it seems like we're heading in the direction this Sunday where the Dolphins need to win and the Broncos need to lose, where we're going to see Tyler Huntley again.
Tua's record against the Jets is important to note, too. Like, yeah, this is Tua's a guy who kills the Jets. Yeah, undefeated.
But yeah. Never lost. I get frustrated a lot by all the conversation around Tua Tagovailoa, right? Because now, what everybody's doing is playing the hindsight game with his contract. And we're going to get Anna Beasley's thoughts on this later. Tua Tagovailoa's contract is not something that hamstrings the Dolphins. They can get out of it in a couple seasons, number one. Number two, people talk about it like it's the single most expensive quarterback contract in the league. Tua this year, believe is the seventh highest paid quarterback. That's next year. So next year, he's the seventh highest paid quarterback. The following year, as of now, before these new contracts, who knows who's going to sign for what. But going into 2026, he's the eighth highest paid quarterback in the league. That's market value for a quarterback like Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. If you were to look at the rest of the quarterbacks in the NFL, obviously this year missing games, you can't really compare the stats as you can to guys who have played every game. But if you were to go on a per game basis, he's definitely a top eight quarterback in the league.
Production wise, absolutely, yeah. When he's out there. And of course we can, nitpick the certain situations where he hasn't come through in his career, and that's totally fair. I'm not going to.
A lot of quarterbacks have it. A lot of quarterbacks have it.
It's all part of his body of work. But we're doing this revisionist history with this contract where the Dolphins should have let it play out for another year, franchise tag him, all this stuff. I'm like, no, like you can't have your franchise quarterback unhappy for a full season, right? Maybe it would have worked out. Maybe they would have gone for a bit of a bargain. Maybe they don't even extend him, period. But then, like, what is the next option? The options in this draft after Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward are not very good. You're looking at Carson Beck and Jalen Milroe in the next group of quarterbacks after Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward.
Who we're not sure if are even going to be that much of an impact in the NFL. Like, this is a really bad year for quarterbacks. If you really look at the body of quarterbacks that are out there, yeah, you do have that separation with the top two. But, again, there's no guarantee. It's like these Giants fans are losing their minds because they don't have the first pick anymore. Like, if it was a guarantee that their franchise gets turned around by landing one of these guys.
No, they thought that was the case when they drafted Daniel Jones, too.
Which is a crazy contract. If you want to talk about crazy contracts, let's talk about Daniel Jones.
Right. This is not that. Tua is not that player. Although Daniel Jones does have the playoff win that Tua Tagovailoa doesn't have. That's why he got the contract. In fairness to Daniel Jones.
All right.
But I think we can all agree that there is a large gap between the ability of Tua Tagovailoa and a guy like Daniel Jones, who also got that big money. I do not like going back in hindsight and looking at all these different things and how they played out after the fact. I think the Dolphins did about as well as they could have with Tua's contract situation and what they ended up agreeing to with him this past offseason. I just, playing the result on this stuff, I get it's part of it. I just don't like it. I think it's bad faith, and people are so dug in on this and looking for any avenue to take a dump on Tua Tagovailoa's career. This is another one. And look, the injury concerns, we've said it all along, they are legitimate. He played a full season last year, and a lot of us thought that was him turning the corner. This year was very unfortunate what happened in the first Bills game with the concussion, obviously. Nobody wants to see that. This one kind of came out of nowhere with his hip, because according to the Dolphins, first happened in Houston. He was fine enough to play against San Francisco, but I guess re-aggravated it against the 49ers. All week, Tua was saying he was going to play. And then all of a sudden, comes out he's doubtful. And he's not in there for, at that time, the most important game of the Dolphins season, which is now this upcoming week. And you're going to have to rely on, most likely, Tyler Huntley again, because Tua Tagovailoa is hurt.
And the narrative now is about the contract. But if you think back, people still have problems about draft day, saying that the Dolphins made a mistake picking Tua because of the injuries. Like, the only injury that Tua had was that hip, which I agree is a big injury. But he hasn't had that hip be a problem. So there's no way that we could have known about the concussions. There's no way that we would have known anything. You can't say, oh, he can't win a big game. The guy came in halftime in his first action in a national championship game and comes out and wins it. So there's really no precedent that the Dolphins could have seen and gone, oh, damn, we made a mistake. I think it was still the right pick.
Yeah, I'm with you too. And, you know, Brian Flores' name is popping up now for some of these potential job openings. And maybe Brian Flores has done a lot of self-reflection and changed a lot as a coach and how he would handle certain situations differently than how he handled everything with Tua Tagovailoa. But, Brian Flores wanted Jordan Love. Brian Flores wanted Justin Herbert. Okay, and who was the guy calling plays? Who was out there at the skill positions? Like, what, if you want to play the hindsight game, what is the guarantee that either of those two guys come down to the Dolphins, if they pick one of the two of them, and turn into what we know them as now? Jordan Love sat for, what, two seasons behind Aaron Rodgers?
Was it two or was it three?
Regardless, it was multiple seasons he sat behind.
He sat down for a while behind
Aaron Rodgers. He'd have come down to the Dolphins and had to start right away throwing to Devontae Parker and Albert Wilson and Lynn Bowden Jr.
With a bad offensive line, too. Like, we've never had a good offensive line. It's been a long time.
Just, it doesn't compute for me. All the revisionist history people like to do in whatever aspect it is around this quarterback the Dolphins have. We'll talk with Adam Beasley in the next segment about it. But first, let's get to headlines with Steven.
Headlines brought to you by Doral Kia. At Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. Remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia. Detroit Lions get the win over the 49ers last night, Monday Night Football, 40-34. Thought that maybe Dan Campbell would take his foot off the gas in a meaningless game, but he didn't. Meaning the meaningful game will be in Week 18, Sunday Night Football, against the Vikings. Miami Dolphins take on the New York Jets on Sunday, 4:25. Playoff hopes still alive after Week 17's win against the Cleveland Browns. Tua's availability still up in the air with that hip injury. Hasn't been cleared yet. If he can't, it'll be Tyler Snoop Huntley once again. Dolphins can use some help from the Chiefs beating the Broncos as well. Dolphins will make the playoffs with the win against the Jets and a Broncos loss. Miami Hurricanes head coach Mario Cristobal announced this morning that defensive coordinator Lance Guidry has been fired and will not return with the program for next season. He said, quote, "In a continuous effort to always improve all aspects of our program, I have decided to make a change on defense. We will move forward and make decisions that provide our players, staff, and program the best opportunity to win and develop at the highest level." Five bowl games going on today across college football. Michigan still leads Alabama, 19-13 the score there. Alabama with the ball. They're currently at the two-minute timeout. The most important playoff game today, the only playoff game, is Penn State-Boise State in the Fiesta Bowl, 7:30 p.m. kick from State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona, the first quarterfinal game of the college football playoffs. Miami Heat, they beat the Rockets 104-100 in their last game. Tyler Hero in the middle of some controversy there, getting slammed down to the ground by Amen Thompson, who got cooked all night. Hero was doing whatever he wanted, and he made sure he let him know. The Heat will play on New Year's Day tomorrow, where they take on the New Orleans Pelicans at home from the Kaseya Center. Tip off 7:30 p.m. Catch all the action tomorrow right here on 560 WQAM, starting at 6:15 with preheat. And the Panthers took care of business on home ice last night. They beat the Rangers 5-3. Currently first place in the Atlantic Division, 48 points through 38 games. Their next game is on Thursday against the Carolina Hurricanes on home ice from the Amerant Bank Arena. Now time for your weather, sponsored by DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7 at 866-954-MORE. Weather, 80 degrees outside, 7-mile-an-hour winds. Winds are picking up, mostly sunny. There is a little bit of rain in the forecast, some evening showers in places, but it seems like we'll be able to set off some fireworks tonight.
Somebody on the text line points out Brian Flores was also adamant about wanting Deshaun Watson. If the Dolphins were hamstrung by that contract,
yeah,
and that injury-prone quarterback and that performance when he was healthy, you'd be looking at a situation like what the Dolphins just saw is happening with the Browns this past Sunday. So again, I hope that for Brian Flores' sake, he's been able to self-reflect, and when he gets his next opportunity, which I didn't think would ever come, I hope that he is better off now and has learned from some of the things and how he handled certain situations when he was the Dolphins quarterback.
I'm not a big Brian Flores guy, but I will say his body of work this year has deserved another look, for sure.
I will never argue with anybody that Brian Flores is not one of the best defensive minds in football,
absolutely,
that he's not a phenomenal defensive coordinator, because he is. He knows how to coach a defense. But when he was put in a head coaching spot to manage an entire roster and develop a top five quarterback that they drafted, he failed miserably at it.
And that's okay, because we've seen it on the offensive side of the ball, too. Look at Nathaniel Hackett, like, offensive guru, and then goes over there. He doesn't know when to call a timeout. We're seeing it now with Raheem Morris in Atlanta. Same exact deal.
By the way, Alabama just went for it on 4th and 10 from about the 15-yard line.
A victory formation.
And Jalen Milroe, to cap off his horrific day, for Alabama and what could potentially be his final college game, had a man open in the end zone and threw it about 6 yards in front of him, off balance, drifting to his left. That's the team. The team that just lost 19-13 to a 7-5 Michigan team is the one that everybody wanted to see in the college football playoff. They wanted that Jalen Milroe in the CFP over Indiana.
Shout out to Michigan, though. Two big wins at the end of the year.
They literally could barely complete a forward pass.
Yeah.
And they finished the season beating Ohio State.
Yeah.
And they finished by beating Alabama now in the ReliaQuest Bowl, which used to be the Outback Bowl. Okay. Adam Beasley, Pro Football Network. He will join us next on Hawk and Crowder.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
That is some cojones, boys. Wow.
Hawk and Crowder.
Welcome back to Hawk and Crowder. Josh Appel in for Hawk, Crowder, and Solana. Jimmy also absent today. The guys will be back on Friday. Happy New Year's Eve to you. Happy to be joined by the guy that I always put out the bat signal or the Beasley single signal. Jeez. Wow. Whoa. Timeout. Thank goodness Hawk and Crowder aren't here today, because wow, would I have gotten roasted for that. Whoa. Let's try that again. Happy to be joined now by the guy that I always put out the Beasley signal for, Adam Beasley, Pro Football Network. Get ready to talk some Dolphins. That's probably the best intro for a segment or an interview that you've ever done anywhere. Am I right?
It sounds like you were celebrating the New Year of Eastern Europe. Like you've already been imbibing the spirit.
Yeah, that was rough. I am a professional broadcaster, and that is what I just sounded like.
Really, listen, really, we all have mulligans, and you know I take a lot of them.
Yeah, you do. When you're not throwing your club at a 75-year-old woman, of course.
That's true. Are we playing on Friday?
I think we are. There is going to be a BVFL golf outing on Friday.
Wow. I think we should make a friendly wager on the air as to how that's going to go.
You come up with some ideas, and we'll circle back to it at the end of the segment. Now, my travel exploits this past weekend have been a large topic of discussion over the last couple days. So just to clarify, I will be driving to the golf course. I will not be flying to where we're playing. I'm not going to give it away. But what did you make of my decision to fly from Fort Lauderdale to Tampa and back this past weekend instead of driving?
Wait a minute, you're getting hell for this?
Yeah, I know, right?
Oh, dude, I fly every single chance I get to Tampa.
Thank you.
Like, no, nobody wants to make that drive. Nobody. And Southwest is like $119 round trip. That is stealing money. You made the right choice, and you should make it every day of the week.
Now, the caveat to this is I flew Silver Airways this time.
Okay.
So they just went bankrupt, filed for bankruptcy this morning.
Was it Silver or Spirit? Because they both, I know Spirit's gone belly up. I don't know if Silver has.
Silver, yeah. So that was the story that came out today, that Silver Airways has gone bankrupt. But yeah, Cuno and Hawk spent a full hour yesterday roasting me for flying instead of driving.
Well, I mean, listen. When Hawk started flying, there were propellers on the plane, so I don't want to listen to him. And Cuno surprises me because he seems charming and soft. Like, he seems like a man of means that would absolutely, like he would be like, I mean, if I don't have my private jet, I'd consider driving, but always fly number one. So
I wouldn't
take that criticism too hard, because you were right in this one and they were wrong.
Thank you. I've got Noah Eagle on my side, and now I've got Adam Beasley.
Wow, what a combo. Syracuse is the finest right there.
Yeah, you are following Noah, by the way, so good luck.
Oh, God. Sorry to your listeners, man.
Adam Beasley joining us on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood, on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com. Okay, so now that we know that you agree with me, and you've called Mike Cuno soft, I can't wait for him to hear that. Let's talk about this Dolphins performance in Cleveland on Sunday. I think it's one that given the circumstance, no Tua Tagovailoa, and what we had seen prior to Sunday from Tyler Huntley, a lot of people probably expected the worst at a classic Dolphins letdown in a game that mattered for them, but like still needed some help. Regardless, I think we were all kind of thinking that this was going to be one of those type of games from Miami. But Tyler Huntley gave you the backup quarterback performance that a lot of people have been yearning for, not counting 2023 because to his health. But what did you make of Tyler Huntley on Sunday? And could he be the guy that backs up Tua Tagovailoa moving past this season based on what you saw Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about this. I was on Poupart's podcast yesterday, and that's like we had to kind of scratch our heads the last time, start to finish, they had Dolphins had a backup quarterback play that well. He mentioned Bridgewater in relief of relief maybe last year, that Vikings game, that he wasn't actually the starter, that Skyler was. That was 2 years ago, obviously. Skyler was the starter, yeah. And then he came in and played well. But as far as a guy who is going to be the guy, had a week of prep, he was the starter. I mean, I think he dropped like a Brock Osweiler reference on me. I mean, that's how far back you got to go.
Brocktober in Miami against the Bears.
Right. Yeah. Yep. So that's how far back you got to go to have the kind of performance. And look, like I don't think anyone anticipates Snoop to go whatever it was, 22 or 26. With you know, he was the only quarterback in Dolphins history to go like 80% plus. With 250 passing and or 225 passing, 50 rushing and touchdowns in each, like that was a legit career day for him. He has never in his life played that well, so certainly it's encouraging. But to think that if he has to go again this week, that he's going to replicate that, I think that's a bit wishful thinking. I do think that he could be good enough for them to win on Sunday. I don't think you're going to see a catastrophic start from him. Certainly because I think those Jets players have been Cancun mode for a while. Did you see that DJ Reed quote that he gave to Ty Dunn? Did you see that?
Yeah, so if you're wondering what Adam is referring to, DJ Reed, one of the cornerstone corners on that Jets defense the last couple of years, basically said, I cannot wait. Not basically, he did say, I cannot wait to be a free agent.
Yeah, so look, for all the grief that McDaniel has gotten from the fans, and I think some of it's justified for sure, there was never that, right? They were 2-6 this year. There was no quit in this team. They continued to play hard for the off chance, and I still think it's a very slim likelihood that they get to the playoffs, but they played for that. They played for him. They played for themselves. I think there's a lot of strong leadership in that locker room. So people who like to equate the Dolphins to the Jets are just they're jokes because there's no comparing those franchises. Yes, neither has had great success in the playoffs this century. Totally get that. You know, in fact, the Jets have been to conference championship games. The Dolphins have not. But fundamentally, that team is a disaster, and the Dolphins aren't one of those disaster franchises. So people who equate the two are completely wrong. Getting back to Tyler, though, I think they, you know, the fact that they were able to have that success offensively with zero running game again, like we thought the week before the Niners game was kind of a turning point. No, they still can't run the ball no matter what they try. Devon Achane may have even gotten sat down for a while for
that was odd.
Inefficiency. I mean, guy was averaging 2.5 yards a carry, so it's not like you know, they were taking out a guy who was just running them over to play Raheem. But the fact that they were able to have that offensive performance with all that was going on, with that morning they still thought maybe Tua had potentially a chance to play, I think it was really encouraging, and I think they're going to win on Sunday no matter who the quarterback is.
Look, we've seen the Geno Smith spoiler game when the Dolphins just needed a win to get in the postseason. We've seen plenty of scenarios where, because Dolphins, things just happen. Would it not be quintessential Dolphins for them to lose Sunday, but also get the Chiefs win that they need?
I mean, yeah, it would certainly be within character for sure. I'm of the different mind. Like when this schedule came out, we were all like, "Oh man, they better start 2-4 because they're going to have 5 losses to finish the season, right?" Like we know how this play goes. We've seen this movie once or twice. Like, and no one thought that they'd be able to go 6-2, 7-2 potentially down the stretch because of how hard that schedule was. Wouldn't it be something if this is the year with all of this disaster that they win 7 of the last 9, they get into the playoffs, and then they shock the Bills? Like, it would be – because right. There were zero expectations on this team a month and a half ago, like zero. Like, I wrote before the trade deadline that they should blow it up, that they should absolutely trade whatever assets they can for future draft picks because they've got cap issues going forward, and it was pretty clear this nucleus isn't going to win a Super Bowl. I still believe that. I don't think that – I think you need significant changes. I don't think that beating these teams that they've beaten – again, huge credit for McDaniel and the players for not throwing in the towel because they've made this season interesting in Week 18. Huge, you know, huge credit for them that. But let's not forget that they're playing not just the worst schedule in football, by far the easiest schedule in football.
Yeah.
Like, the teams that they have had on – like, there's – sorry, my dog is losing her mind. She's in my room with me, and I apologize. I will move. She – I am now
– I want the dog's thoughts.
Yeah. The dog thinks my takes are terrible too. So, they really should not have – they shouldn't be sweating out a playoff spot. I don't care who your quarterback was for 4 weeks. Like – or 5 weeks now. Like, that. The Colts are garbage. The Titans are terrible. The Seahawks aren't very good. The games,
yeah, but that's
that they...
like a tough game at Seattle. That's a, you know, whatever. That happens. It's Arizona at home blowing that lead. It's the Indianapolis game. It's the Titans game at home. Like, those are the ones that really stick out.
Yeah. Well, isn't it crazy that the Titans 2 years in a row have ruined the Dolphins season?
Like, I love the talk about the idea of just how different our view of this project and this core, how different it would be how had they not blown that game against the Titans last year. Because, again, ifs, whatever. But we're looking, if they hang on there, at a team that's got a home playoff game as, what, the 2 seed in the AFC?
Yeah, it's probably the Steelers, right? It's the Steelers.
Right, so you're talking about hopefully winning a playoff game, making it to the second round finally. As the 2 seed, you win the AFC East. Like, how differently is this season viewed? It's the butterfly effect from that game is just wild to me.
Yeah, but honestly, that's football. Like,
of course,
there are teams every year that have the what ifs. You don't have what ifs about, you know, even look, the Cincinnati Bengals. The Cincinnati Bengals, who were even more dead and buried than the Dolphins, made themselves a season. Okay, there are some teams that don't have the what ifs that Miami does. I think that's a function of being in the middle of the pack. And I've said this, like, the last 2 years, they were the best of the bads, right? They were the best of the mediocre teams. They were able to beat all those bad teams. And each of the previous 2 years, they got one win, I think, against a playoff team. It was Baltimore in 22 and Dallas in 23. They aren't even that this year. Like, I don't think, you know, Denver, in my opinion, is the best of the bads because I don't think they're particularly good. Or maybe even Pittsburgh because, like, they look kind of fraudulent too. But those things that we've, you know, that the Dolphins have been to get into the playoffs, they're not that anymore. And so when people take the 30,000-foot view, I really hope that Steve Ross isn't making his decisions on major, you know, who's going to run this franchise type of deals based on the result of Sunday's game. Because if you're basing your decision after 6 years of evaluating Chris Greer and if they beat the Jets with Tyler Huntley, your process is so flawed, right? I mean, you've got to have a wider lens view of that. So that my guess is they've already made a decision. I know they made a decision on Mike McDaniel. You don't put video of Steve Ross handing McDaniel a game ball and then they get the Week 18 with a chance to make the playoffs and then fire the guy. He's coming back. There's not a doubt in my mind he's coming back. Greer's, I think that's more of a wild card. So I would hope that it's not like, oh, okay, they did it, 3 playoff appearances in a row. Yes, 3 – let me ask you this, Josh, and I've been asking everyone I've been talking to about this.
My Certainly, show.
What's that?
So this is my show, but go ahead and ask.
Yeah, well, look, people have heard enough of you talking enough, all right? They want to hear the bees, okay? Are they any closer to a championship now than they were, say, September of 2020?
Yes, they are, but, I mean, that's all relative.
like I don't think it's how arguable, much closer but are they?
They were in 2020.
I don't know. I mean, they've gotten two is better. They've got better skill position players, but I don't think the defense is better than it was then. I think the broader point is this team has been treading water for 5 years now. And if you're what other general manager, forget about the 19 years that preceded it with Greer, what other general manager can go 6 years at a playoff win and keep his job?
I think that's totally fair, and it's probably a big reason why Joe Douglas ended up getting fired in New York, although he's dealing with completely different circumstances there with what's going on with Woody Johnson's ownership. But I'm glad you brought up Chris Greer, because I was going to ask you about this, because I've gone back and forth on what the Dolphins should do with him, because I don't love the idea of putting McDaniel with a GM that did not hire him for another season. If you're going to do that, put them together one more year. If it goes like this next year, then you can cut bait with both. I don't like an overlap of a GM and a coach when the GM didn't hire that particular guy, because from the get-go, you've just got this, maybe not real tension, but some tension there.
Yeah, I get it, and I know that's something that it's been a talking point around this franchise in the past. You know, Jeff Ireland and Joe Philbin and then Dennis Hickey. You know, I get all that. Totally get all that. Honestly, McDaniel can work with anybody. He is so ego-free. So there's not going to be, a huge clashing of personalities. Plus, he's going to probably be grateful to have another shot at this. I mean, this is a dream job to him. And I don't think that, my guess is, knowing the kind of person Ross hires, he's not going to hire a dictator as a GM. He's not.
No.
And
it'll be somebody who's collaborative.
Right. And so, look,
sorry to cut you off, but that's part of the reason why I kind of think Greer shouldn't be held to full account for what this current iteration of the Dolphins looks like, because they're built in the mold of what Mike McDaniel wanted. So, yes, did he miss on a guy like Liam Eichenberg? Was he a little too arrogant about their offensive line issues? Yes. Was Jordan Poyer a bad signing? Yes. But, he's also made some pretty savvy moves as GM and built this team in the vision of what the head coach wanted. So now we're holding the GM accountable for that, makes sense.
Okay, I totally get that he's probably the 16th or 17th best general manager in football. Is that good enough?
No.
I mean, that's the thing. It's not a clear cut, if they were 4-13, get him out of here. Clearly, obviously.
Right.
But at some point, you got to win.
I can't argue that, and I agree with you. But again, it's why I keep going back and forth, because I always start coming back to that. What is the yes? Are they better? Yes, they made the postseason in consecutive years for the first time in a long time. Yes, but at the end of the day, what has that given them? Is this core good enough? Right now, it doesn't seem like they are. Just want to get this quick note in really quick. Because we were mentioning playoff scenarios and what the Dolphins can or what they need. Just a note on what the Chiefs have done under Andy Reid when he rests his starters. In the final weekends of 2013, 2017, 2020, and 2023, they won two of those games, and they went to overtime with the playoff-bound 2013 Chargers. A note on the note, that 2017 game where they beat the Broncos, that was Patrick Mahomes' first start. So maybe they get MVP Wentz on Sunday, and they pull out the win, and they sneak into the postseason. But
Maybe they get MVP Wentz, but it might only be for a half. Have you heard?
Oh, I am a pseudo Chris Oladokun expert, because at one time he was a USF Bull.
I'm glad you knew where I was going, so you pronounced the name so I didn't have to.
Yeah, Chris Oladokun. That's how you say it. Look, at the FCS level, I'm pretty sure he was at James Madison after he left USF. He had a pretty good run there.
If that's what you're hanging your hat on, God bless, man. Drinking with the Eastern Europeans, man.
Hey, listen. I don't know how it's taken us this long to address the Tua situation as far as his hip goes. I know you had a pretty strong interpretation of what's going on there, but it's been a day since that tweet. So have you learned anything new about what's going on there? What do you make of this situation? And do we know, I know we know the game that it happened, but do we know the specific plays against Houston and against San Francisco where this hip injury occurred?
Okay, so to answer your second question first, I don't know in San Francisco where the original hit happened. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Houston, I have an idea. San Francisco, I don't know how it got aggravated. Houston, there is a clip, if you can find on X, of him scrambling and then diving forward and getting smushed by two guys. That is my guess. And it came 2 weeks after in a response to a question of mine, actually, about how he feels responsible for the team being in this position because he wasn't safe enough and protective enough of his body. And then he goes and does that. I mean, this is to me why I've written and I completely stand by, they need to draft a quarterback in 2025. Doesn't have to be in the first round. Can't be in the seventh round. Can't be in the sixth round. They need to draft a quarterback that they think they could develop into being their future starter, because you need to have a 1A option long term if Tua is your quarterback. And he's definitely going to be their quarterback through 2025. Might be their quarterback in 2026, we'll see. But they've guaranteed a lot of money for that guy, and he's gotten hurt 4 of the last 5 years now. So, yes, I do think that he's never going to change. I do think that you need to draft a quarterback. You need to – the Skylar Thompson plan was good in theory. It just was disastrous in practice because they couldn't – I know you have your thoughts on that quarterback battle in the summer, but they couldn't come to grips with the fact that their plan had failed, right? And that's why they went into that offseason with Mike and Skyler, because they thought, dude, Skyler, he's going to get it. Year three in the system. We've developed him. We drafted him. We developed him. We believe in him. He knows the system inside and out. The dude just can't play. Right, he just cannot play at this level. I think in practice it was a failure, but in theory it was brilliant, because that's what you need. You need a quarterback that you don't need to pull a Snoop Huntley situation with and get him up to speed in 5-6 weeks or whatever it is for him to play in a game, because the offense is too complex. You need a guy that's been there since day one of his NFL career, digesting this playbook, knows inside and out, and has the added bonus of playing the game better than Skyler does. That's what they need. And if he, look, people are saying, oh, they've got so many needs, how can he use a third-round pick at a quarterback? That argument doesn't pass muster with me. You know why? The success rate for a third-round pick, regardless of the position, of becoming a consistent starter for a team, not even year one, which is what people are talking about, hey, we need a plug-and-play player, but at any point in his career, is 1 in 6. And so what is a 17% chance of a guard panning out for you as opposed to maybe a 5% chance of a quarterback panning out for you? Give me that 5% every day of the week, right? Because that's the upside of what you get from you hitting on your quarterback in the third round is way more valuable than, hey, maybe you have to pick up, maybe you have to trade for a guard in August or something to fill out your roster. That to me, they should be drafting quarterbacks every single year. And they absolutely should be drafting one this year, particularly because your quarterback now has gotten hurt twice. And it's crazy, Josh, but this is the second time in 3 years they're playing the Jets in a must-win game and probably won't have their quarterback. That's bananas to me. That is absolutely insane, and it's not acceptable. And I'm sorry, Tua is a great guy, and when he's at his best, he is lights out. Availability is the biggest ability in football, and he's not available.
I really thought that he had turned that corner after making it through all of last season healthy. Adam, I appreciate your time. I appreciate you responding to the Beasley signal or whatever the hell I called it at the beginning of this segment. Happy New Year. Do you have an idea on what our wager should be on Friday?
I mean, it's probably something bourbon related. If it's you pick your terms, and mine will probably be bourbon.
Okay, sounds good to me. I'll figure it out, and I'll have my people get in touch with your people.
Happy New Year, my friend.
Same to you. Adam Beasley, Pro Football Network, kind enough to join us. Back with more Hockman and Crowder after this.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Soldier Boy. That dude wasn't in the Army.
Hawk and Crowder.